much about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
And so, as you can all plainly see, I am standing here at the head of the table, which means I'm about to speak, and here we go. And so, yes.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G.
That song is killing me. Could you please turn it off?
Do you sit down and listen to a lot of John Williams?
No.
What's your job title, huh? Meat corrector?
My balls. Take them. Hold them. Rub them. Love them. And then eat them. Eat all of my balls.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Ain't nobody got time for that.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Bitch, you're calling me crazy?
Roll another one.
So God made a farmer.
Just like the other one.
Yeah, what's up?
This one seems to be about to quit.
I don't think so.
And I need another hit.
It's our time to shine. 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 It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
You removed the fun. Thanks a lot.
Roll. Roll another one.
Now let's go get some pancakes.
Just like the other one.
Big cheer for OJ.
This one seems to be about.
JK! JK!
I don't have another cent.
Boop, 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 boop,
boop, boop, boop, boop, boop, boop, boop, boop,
boop, boop, boop, boop,
boop, boop, boop, boop,
boop, boop, boop, boop, boop, boop, boop, boop, boop, boop, boop, boop, boop, boop,
boop, boop, boop, boop, boop, boop, boop, boop, boop,
boop, boop, boop, boop, boop,
boop, boop, boop, boop, boop, boop, boop, boop, boop, boop, boop, boop, boop, boop, boop, boop, boop, boop, boop, boop, boop, boop, boop, boop, boop, boop, boop, boop, boop, boop, boop, boop, boop, boop, boop, boop, boop, boop, boop, boop, boop, boop,
you're listening to the hot rockin', flame throwin', booty kickin', steamrollin', corn shuckin' tower of hit music power that's shaking the lakes and rockin' the docks.
Our feature presentation.
Yeah.
Didn't they only lose by like 18 or something, though?
Yeah, but it wasn't that close.
You know, at least it was against the Celtics.
It was never close.
You know how
really?
They say that? Like it should have been 40 points as yeah. close as it was.
Exactly.
Morning, everybody. It's a brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is a Friday morning.
Does it still hurt to lose against the Celtics when
yep.
the Celtics are terrible also, though?
Yep.
It does. Okay.
Yep.
Andrew Siciliano put it best last night. He said, because the game was in Boston, he said the Lakers are playing like they want to get out of the snow. Like they want to leave before the storm hits. They just want to be done. They don't care if they win. They just want to be done.
Yeah, it was rough.
So, hey, party people, welcome in to another Kevin and Bean Show for a Friday. Hey, before I tell you about today's story, I have a Lisa, tell your thing.
Well, I have two things, really. The first one isn't as big, but you know that urologist that was murdered in Irvine? The 73-year-old
yes.
guy went
yes.
in and shot him? That's my dad's urologist. Okay.
Wow.
And the guy that was almost boat jacked in San Diego yesterday by Christopher Dorner, the
by
guy
the
that they're hunting
killer?
For? Harvey's best friend.
What?
Yep.
His name is, what's going on?
I don't know. His name is Carlos, and he's 81, but he's a like he's 6'3". He's like Anthony Quinn, old, strong guy. So I'm not surprised that he didn't actually get his boat. But isn't that the craziest thing?
So two bizarre stories involving murder in Southern California in the last 3 days are almost directly associated with your dad.
Yes.
That is weird.
Is it possible it's your dad?
Yes.
Okay.
And I am now worried.
All right. Like, does her dad look like a 6'3", 270-pound black man, Kevin?
No, but what a disguise.
What a disguise.
He's good.
Seems to be every place things are happening.
Right?
So let me ask Kevin this question. Because it's an awesome story to have this this guy, this international manhunt guy, try to boat jack you, and you fight him off and survive, and he gets nothing, right?
Yes.
Would you want that to happen to you, Kevin, if you knew it was going to end up the way it did, where now he's got the best story in the world to tell for the rest of his life?
Yeah, I think I would. If you knew you weren't going to get hurt.
Right,
yeah.
Right. Because he just, he's a baller, man. He's 81 years old, and he's won.
I want your boat.
Listen, I called him to try to get him to come on the show, but Harvey said that, like, CBS had already called Harvey to get his number, and I was like, oh, I bet there's bigger names. All I could do is leave a couple of messages.
So weird.
Yeah, it's nuts. I couldn't believe it.
This is related to the killer.
In a way.
Sort of.
He might be staying at her house for all we know. Looking there. I'll tell you that. No one's connected the dots yet.
We're looking up in Denver now. Way off.
It was funny when they found his car, and I hope people know we're talking about this manhunt that's all over Southern California. You've had the TV on, you can't have missed it, but they're looking everywhere, and they spread out all over the Western United States. But they did find the car that everybody was looking for, burned out in Big Bear, and then footprints going off into the snow. And somebody suggested, if you're a 270-pound black man, you don't hide out in Big Bear, right?
Yeah, that's true. You stand out.
You're not blending in. You're begging to be caught.
Yeah, but nobody knows that he was hanging out there. He just dumped the truck and could have left, you know.
But, I mean, you dump the truck and then the footprints go off in the snow. I mean, unless he had arranged with somebody else to get some other form of transportation out of town, I don't know where he is.
The only thing that worries me is that he knows police procedure.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Because he's an ex-policeman. So.
That's what makes him scary.
That's what makes it scary. And, you know, you hope they find him soon.
It is one of the craziest stories in that, I mean, it affected all law enforcement in all of Southern California in terms of, you know, taking the motorcycle cops off the street and everything and sending multiple cars to every call. I mean, because every single call they're afraid is the guy. You know, it's a made up story so that you can get a police officer out there, hopefully by himself, so you can kill him. I mean, that's what their fear is right now. But I'm surprised he's gotten away as long as he has with everybody trying to have eyes on him.
Yeah, I definitely thought I'd get up this morning and hear that they had him.
I sure hope.
Yeah, it's a little bit of a surprise. I hope this isn't one of those deals where he, you know, had planned this for a long time and has a way out of the country, and you know, we never hear from him again. You know, because that would just hang over the area forever. So anyway, crazy story, and we'll of course keep you posted if we hear anything about that later on today. We're keeping an eye on it as well. So. All right, well, that's my time. What you got, Kevin?
I got today's Kevin and Beecho.
And her Lisa May.
Huh?
What? What was that?
Oh, play it again. I like that. I like that.
And her Lisa May.
Lisa's looking at me like she doesn't understand what she said.
You
said,
and her Lisa May.
Enter Lisa May.
Oh, I didn't. It's not clear. Don't play that anymore.
It's clear enough for me.
You said it, lady.
Right. Not our fault.
And her Lisa May.
All right. We'll do what you say.
Hey, I'll feel free to record me some new versions. I love it.
On today's program, we have comedian Jim Jefferies in the studio.
Oh, he's the best. He's so funny.
He is the funniest comedian, and God, his show Legit is great. It's so uncomfortable.
Yes, it is that.
Oh, my God, it's so uncomfortable.
And I feel like there's no show on television that has more warnings about language and situations and sexuality, everything like that. It's just like they just pound you over the head with it. Like every 90 seconds, they remind you, hey, seriously, this is pretty rough stuff.
Oh, that's great. We also have LaQuisha on today's show talking about Buck Wild.
Mm-hmm.
We have Randall Roberts, who's a LA Times music critic, who's going to give us a preview of the Grammys, which are Sunday night.
Okay.
And speaking of
Kevin, you might even want to watch the Grammys this year. It's crazy how good it sounds like the performances are going
to
be.
Yeah, I might. For the longest time, it has not had anything to do with K-Rock or our music.
There are rumors now that there's going to be a one-time supergroup performance with Chuck D from Public Enemy, LL Cool J, Tom Morello, and Travis Barker.
Wow.
How cool might that be?
That sounds awesome.
Who knew that the CBS network had heard of rap?
We also are going to talk to Matt Money Smith about the Lakers and how they're cleaning up.
Okay.
Season's over, right?
Or whatever they're doing. And we have, speaking of the Grammys, we have the Muse pre-Grammy party tickets to give away. And this is the last pair that we have, of course, because it's tonight.
Yeah. Also, speaking of the Grammys, by the way, apparently we are in store for Beer Mug Interviews the Stars on today's program.
Oh, you did the round table yesterday?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, no. Great. Can't wait. Beer Mug interviews are always the best. We'll take a break. We'll come back with the Ralph Showbiz beat next.
Yeah, yeah, indeed.
That should be like a rock anthem. It sounds like a rock anthem, but it's a really depressing song.
Walk the Moon. I've never really listened to the lyrics.
House falling apart and everything. Just all just everything's just going to crap for that guy. But it sounds like should be like rocking in the streets. There should be a big dance number that goes with that song. But it's all depressing.
Yeah, never listen to lyrics. No, it makes the song so much less fun. All right, it is Friday. Finally, 5:55. Rob is here with our first look at the showbiz beat. What's going on?
Gung Hei Fat Choi, everyone.
What does that
and
mean?
You as well. Yeah. Gung Hei Fat Choi.
Watch your language.
Gung Hei Fat Choi.
What does that mean?
It means Happy New Year, Kevin. It's the Chinese New Year.
Ah.
Can you believe it's 47-11 already?
I can't.
You know what? I can't wait till the Asians take over.
Well, you don't have to wait long. 47-11. It just feels... It's 47-10 just went by like that.
It did. It was like yesterday.
Ugh. It is the year of the snake, everyone. I'm still writing dragon on my checks. It's so hard to... Thank you. Thank you so much. Let's see what's in the showbiz news. Molly Sims.
Yes.
Who I adore.
You got my attention.
Says she's fighting depression and weight gain.
Uh-oh.
She had a lot of trouble losing weight since having her son Brooks because she developed a thyroid problem. I've been trying to tell you people, kids are no goddamn good. I tell you, no good comes from it. Since doctors corrected it, she's been losing her baby weight, but she's still got some extra pounds she's trying to shed. And, you know, it's hard enough for most of us, the regular people, when we look in the mirror and say, you know, I could drop a few LBs.
Right.
But if you're a former model actress
and
you just can't lose the weight, it's devastating because it threatens not only your self-esteem, but your career at that point.
Mm-hmm.
So she's really struggling, but I think she looks great.
I think the bigger picture here, Ralph, is that we're all lucky that no one ever counted on us for our looks.
Yeah, that's true.
Because we can decline, and it's not that big a deal to anybody.
That's true. But if you're a young, hot, especially
right.
woman in the entertainment industry,
yeah. absolutely.
You're known for that.
You start to age, and you put on a few pounds and everything, boy, it must be just brutal.
And can I point out for a moment that Lisa Mae looks the same today as the day she started working on the Kevin and Bean show? And I'm starting to really question that. Like, how is that possible? She hasn't aged at all.
There's a painting in my house that is has a picture
there
of a very
be.
Old woman.
Yeah.
And
yeah. Look, Ralph, you've known Lisa.
There's a plastic surgeon's bank account that keeps growing and growing and growing.
Every year.
That's all I'm saying.
You've known Lisa Ralph for what, 12 or 13 years?
Yes.
Doesn't she look virtually identical to the day you first walked in the room? It's weird.
Lift your shirt up.
They're the same.
Yeah,
they're
flash them. It's the same.
No, she does. She's aging. She's not aging. It's uncanny.
It is kind of crazy.
It's really nice
of
you.
No, but I see photos and I see the rest of us and I go, this is bad or this is taking its toll. And then I see Lisa and she's the same. It's just weird.
Yeah, I believe this radio show and the lifestyle surrounding it has put about 40 years on me.
I am not surprised.
Yeah.
These hours.
Yeah, these hours. The lack of the sleep deprivation and just the sheer the anxiety and stress of putting out the show every morning and all the stuff that comes along with it has just aged me.
It's like being president.
It is. It's exactly like being
that.
President, Lisa.
Right.
You're right. Doing the showbiz beat is like running the nation.
God, we're so important. You know?
I think we need to subscribe to Kevin's theory, which is to never think about the show if you're not at work.
That's why Kevin looks so good. He looks so well
rested
because
he looks happy.
He doesn't think about it at home. He doesn't think about when he's here. He doesn't really do that much in either place.
How dare you, sir?
He's just cruising. That's
not a lot of pressure on his shoulders, that's for sure.
That's right. Kim Kardashian.
Who?
Who? I'm sorry. Porn star Kim Kardashian has upset her baby daddy, apparently. Kanye West is upset with her. According to sources, they are talking about getting married, you know, as soon as her old marriage is done.
If.
And Kim has told Kanye she is not going to take his name. She's not going to become Kim West.
Well, she's
or Kim Kardashian West.
She's famous with this name.
But wait for it. She's also announced that she thinks their unborn child should be a Kardashian.
Now that's interesting.
Do I hear the meddling of a certain Chris Kardashian?
No, sir, you don't.
Hmm.
How's Chris Jenner going to sell the baby if it's not a Kardashian?
Good point.
Yeah, so apparently he's upset about that.
Now, I have a question, Ralph, you may or may not have the answer to, but if a couple is not married, can the baby be given the father's last name? Can you change a baby's first and last name when they're born or assign them that?
Wow, that's a great, great question.
I don't mean ask questions we don't know the answer to.
I don't know the legality behind that. My instinct is to say that you could name the baby anything you want to name it.
Yeah, I would think so, too.
First and last.
First and last. But I hesitate to say that because, again, I don't know the legal ramifications of that. But.
Be awesome if she insists on Kardashian and Kanye spins out and they break up.
I know. When my wife and I had the twins, I would go into the NICU and they would be known as her last name.
Oh, really?
Because she had not yet changed her name to mine.
Oh, I see. Gotcha.
So
pretty smart of her.
Maybe if she's since done it. So, but maybe if they're not married in time, and it looks like they won't be because I don't think the divorce will be finalized by the time she gives birth. That the baby will automatically be a Kardashian.
Interesting.
So,
but that's real talk right there, man.
That is real talk right there, man. Congratulations, Jennifer Lopez has a new show that's going to be on television. She is producing a new show about a pair of lesbian moms with a set of foster kids from different races and ethnicities and a couple of their own biological kids as well.
She's playing Angelina Jolie?
Pretty much, yes. The series will star Terry Polo and Sherry Somm as the moms, and the Parents Television Council has already had their sphincters clenched.
Then we're behind it.
This sounds like the lesbian Brady Bunch / Different Strokes combo L-word. Show. That's what they should call it. I think it's very catchy.
It's catchy. I love that the PTC hasn't seen one frame of this show, but they already don't like it just because it's women that are married.
I agree.
Unbelievable.
And Star Wars geeks, congratulations. We were talking earlier this week and last week about the Yoda spinoff movie. Disney has announced. They're talking about it. Excuse me. A spinoff movie starring Yoda. Now they have announced. It looks like a young Han Solo film is in the works and also a film about Bounty Hunter Boba Fett. So you will get those standalone films as well as episodes 7, 8, and 9 of the Star Wars main story.
We're looking at 2020 by now, right?
I don't know.
With all of those movies.
They could put one out a year if they work it this way. They do one regular, you know, canon film, and then they do these spin-off character films every other year. They could create a movie a year. Today's celebrity birthdays, Ted Koppel, 73 years old today. Pro surfer Bethany Hamilton celebrates her 23rd birthday. Bassist Jeremy Davis of Paramore is 28. Geez, how did that name get on this list? I wonder. Dave the King of Mexico prepares. Dave Phoenix Farrell of Linkin Park is 36. Kimbo Slice of the UFC is 39. Whatever happened to Kimbo? Is he still fighting? What's going on?
He's still looking for the after party.
I haven't seen him.
Is he back in backyards now, knocking people's eyes out? Is that what he's doing? Our buddy Seth Green from Robot Chicken and Buffy the Vampire Slayer and Austin Powers, of course, Family Guy. He's 39. Happy birthday, Seth. Mary McCormick is 44 years old today. Mary Steenburgen is 60 years old. And actor Nick Nolte.
Nick Nolte, 72 years old today. I don't even know how I got this old.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Our go-to guy for all things basketball, Matt Money Smith from the Petros and Money Show, joins us in about 10 minutes or so to explain why both local teams are collapsing. That's coming up. First, though, it's Friday and time for the Movie Beat.
In a world, someone has been watching. One man who risked everything.
Sorry, I have not seen any of your films.
Without seeing the movies. Ralph Garman's Movie Beat. Welcome to my world.
Everything you need to know about the movies can be summed up in two words.
Okay.
This weekend.
Two words.
Top mother effing gun!
Yay!
I'm playing with the boys.
That's three words.
Oh.
Not to be picky.
Top Gun!
That movie...
Re-released, 3D, IMAX, suck it!
Are you joking?
Playing with the boys.
You're joking,
didn't
right?
Go to that.
You're not going to that.
Hell yeah, I'm going to that.
But isn't it terrible?
You know why I'm going to that?
Why?
Because I feel the need, for speed.
Some movies hold up. Others are Top Gun.
How dare you, sir. Mav and Iceman, Cruiser.
You could be my wingman anytime.
Winger. Slayer, all those guys. Too close, Matt. Too close.
Why do we have that, by the way?
Because it rocks. Top Gun re-released in 3D and some screens IMAX. You can check it out this weekend. If you've never seen it, let me tell you right now, it's not good. However... It is fun.
It is fun. And in 3D, I can imagine the flight stuff in 3D would be even more fun. Tom Cruise is completely unbelievable. And Kelly McGinnis as his love interest. Well, it turns out she's a lesbian, and you get that sense as you're watching the movie. She has no interest in having sex with this man whatsoever. But you do get Val Kilmer.
Yeah.
He's fun in it. He's an over-the-top Top Gun trainee, and Anthony Edwards when he had hair. It's a special film for those of us who grew up in that era, and it has not aged well. But it's in 3D.
You should also recommend it to gays, though, right? I mean, it's a phenomenal out for gay men,
it
right?
It does have the most homoerotic volleyball game in the history of cinema, so you can check that out.
That's alleged.
Because they're playing with the boys.
That is the song.
And they're all oiled up, and they're all playing volleyball and high-fiving each other and patting each other's butts. It is. It's a
wrestling in the sand.
Gay soft porn. All right, let's see what else is opening up this weekend. A glimpse inside the mind of Charles Swan III. Finally, Charlie Sheen's back on the big screen where he belongs. What? This movie also stars Bill Murray, Patricia Arquette, Jason Schwartzman. From the mind of director Roman Coppola of the movie-making Coppola family. Story of a graphic designer whose seemingly enviable life slides into despair when his girlfriend breaks up with him. Here are some clips from the trailer of that film.
There is an organization called the SSBB, the Secret Society of Ballbusters.
Get in here now!
Fire!
What the hell was that?
That was pretty close.
Who wants popcorn?
I don't think I have the ability to fall in love again.
You're nuts.
I know I am.
I've been dreaming about you my whole life.
You've heard about the battle of the sexes. This is it.
So there's hope for me? There's always hope.
All right, this girl hurt.
Oh, yeah! This looks very entertaining. It's sort of a goofy slice of life, inner monologue about differences between men and women and dating and relationships. Looks very fun. Also opening up this weekend, Side Effects, thriller starring Jude Law, Rooney Mara, Catherine Zeta-Jones. Catherine and Jude are a successful New York couple whose world unravels. No, I'm sorry. Rooney Mara is part of the couple whose world unravels when a new drug, which is prescribed by her psychiatrist, played by Jude Law. It's intended to treat anxiety, has some unexpected side effects. Or does it? Is she faking? Is she using the drug to be able to get away with stuff, to blame her psychiatrist? Is he being set up? Are the side effects real? What's going on here?
You tell us.
Well, we'll find out. Director Steven Soderbergh, by the way, did this film.
Really?
For a guy who's retired from making movies, he sure makes a lot of movies.
Sure does. Well, this is it, though. This is the last one.
Oh, okay, sure. Whatever you say. Here is a clip, some clips from Side Effects.
911, what's your emergency?
I need help. Someone's been murdered.
No sign of forced entry. Nobody else on the building. Security cameras. Made the 911 call herself.
Where's her lawyer?
She doesn't have one. Just kept talking about you.
Pam, what is going on?
Somebody else did it. It made it look like me.
You knew everything about a blixer.
Hey, wait!
Wait? For this to happen again?
These prove everything.
Destroy that before it destroys you.
Ah! Also opening up this weekend, Identity Thief. How funny does this movie look?
This looks awesome.
Hilarious.
Bean?
Don't even ask. You guys go ahead.
Oh, you are bad.
How does he not get that this looks funny?
You are bad on every level. And I couldn't love Jason Bateman anymore, but I don't get this one at all.
You are not a good person.
You're nuts. It
just looks frantic. I don't like it.
Too much energy and fun for Bean. Mild-mannered businessman, played by Jason Bateman, finds out that his identity has been stolen by a woman living it up, pretending to be him. He goes out to pursue her, and they end up being in sort of a buddy comedy where they have to get back together. Jason Bateman, Melissa McCarthy, John Favreau, all-star in Identity Thief. This looks raucous and fun and just everything that Bean isn't in one movie.
That's so true.
You can check it out. Here's the scene where Melissa McCarthy and Jason Bateman are on the road together out of necessity, and they're trying to order some food.
I asked you to eat less food.
What is wrong with you? This is a beautiful woman. You let her eat.
No, he's right. No, I've put on a little bit of weight because of all the stress. Walter's a fireman.
Oh.
He injured his male parts.
They're just shredded down there.
And now he can't work. He wants to fight fires and he wants to pee standing up. Pee standing up, I know you do, but he can't.
She's a con woman who cons pretty much everybody they run across. And this looks hilariously funny, and Bean is wrong.
Correct.
So my pick for the weekend, obviously, is Top Gun, playing with the boys, or Identity Thief. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
All that you know is at an end.
That was Ralph Garman's Movie Bee.
Coming up in the 7 o'clock hour, I'll give you your way into the K-Rock pre-Grammy party with Muse, which is going to be tonight at the Grammy Museum at LA Live. Also, we got a preview of the big Grammy show this Sunday on CBS. First, though, let's talk basketball with our friend Matt Money Smith from the Petros & Money radio show. Hi, Money. How are you, my friend?
All hail the queen. Queen Latifah.
How dare you, sir?
Yeah, you know what? Before we get to the list, I just need to mention this.
Yes.
I hung up the phone with you guys on Monday, and there was just a great anger burning in my belly. And I was trying to figure out what it was from.
What do we do?
I pointed out that Kevin tried to kill me with flaming Dr. Peppers at that bar.
Uh-huh. In New Orleans.
What I failed to also point out is that he got so drunk that he wandered out of the bar. And those of us that were just barely sober enough to move with some sort of direction had to go find him. And he took us like three blocks off of Bourbon Street.
What? Why would you remember this and bring it up now? Who cares?
Because I almost died. It's like taking me from Balboa Island to freaking Compton. That's what you did to me that night.
I didn't really know exactly pinpoint where I was.
Oh, no, you're right. And then do you remember the next night when you dragged me back to the same bar to do the same stupid thing again?
And we did it, and it was good, right?
So that I just wanted to clarify, it wasn't just the stupid shot of root beer schnapps and a crappy beer that got me angry.
I understand. You're carrying a grudge, though. It seems like at some point you're going to have to let that one go, Money.
It's
That's
only
all.
Been 11 years.
It's been 11 years. Come on now. All right, let's talk about what's – well, first of all, I was asking Kevin earlier, and I want your opinion on this. When both teams suck, does it still hurt a lot, maybe more than losing to other teams, to lose to the Celtics just because they're the Celtics?
Well, when you lose in that fashion, yes. When you're humiliated, when you're the kid in tidy whities and everyone's wearing boxer shorts and they pants you in the middle of the cafeteria, that sucks. And that's what that was last night.
But that sucks to anyone, but for me it's worse that it was the Celtics.
Well, yeah, and I'll tell you why, because this was told to us by a former player. He said, look, when you're losing and you're a team like the Lakers or the Celtics or the Heat, you know, one of these teams that's won championships, teams just want to pile on.
They want
a piece of that.
Oh, yeah.
And you better believe that the Celtics, who are down their best player, by the way. I mean, Rajon Rondo, as good as Kevin Garnett and Paul Pierce, those are Hall of Famers. Right now, at this very moment, Rajon Rondo is their best player. And the fact that he's down and they did him that dirty, that's humiliating.
That's painful. And I'm sure the crowd in Boston, like they did last night, gets up for the Lakers, too, just like it works in reverse. So I'm sure, you know, they feel the pressure when they step out onto the floor there.
Oh, they're horrible people. Those Boston fans are horrible. I mean, they say horrible, horrible things.
It's a really good time to be a Laker hater, though, because it's pretty easy to pile on right now.
So,
Dave. The Clippers suck, too. That was Dave just being excited about Laker haters. Sum up for me the injuries that the Lakers are dealing with right now and how we're going to come out of these. I mean, how bad are they? Guys like Dwight Howard, how long is everybody going to be out?
I mean, that's why the Lakers were piling on Dwight. He's got a torn labrum. I mean, look, there's degrees of torn labrums. I'm not an orthopedic surgeon. I don't know how bad his is. But when Kobe calls you out, Kobe can be an a-hole. I mean, let's face it. Everybody knows that.
The other thing, though, that people I don't think are taking into account is that Kobe plays hurt, but Kobe has – his mind is different, I think, than most guys.
Question,
like, he can
question.
Play hurt. A guy like Dwight Howard, I don't think has that tough of a mind and can't block it out.
And even though that's the case, it's still taboo because you have no idea what a guy's going through inside his body. Yet still, instead of it being Kobe's an a-hole, and maybe Dwight's a little soft – you had Mike D'Antoni yesterday saying, hey, look, he's been cleared by the doctors. I mean, that's worse than anything Kobe said, understand. Because he basically said, our doctors say he's fine. This is in that pee over there's head. So, you know, and then Nash piles on. I mean, it really is gang up on Dwight time.
Yeah, it sounds like it.
In Lakerland. And
it's bad enough that it sucks on the court. When it sucks in the locker room, too, man, that's a potential spiral that you can't get out of it. And how about Powell? How long's he out?
He's out probably 6 to 8 weeks. It's a torn plantar fascia, which is, if anyone that runs knows what it's like to have plantar fasciitis, it sucks.
It's in your heel, right?
It can stretch all the way from your heel to the ball of your foot. Just imagine the middle of your foot on fire every time you put it down. And it turns out you're going to put your foot up and down quite a bit when you're playing basketball.
Yeah, it turns out that's true.
Yeah, so he's probably 6 to 8 weeks.
This is the voice of our friend Matt Money Smith from the Petros & Money radio show. Let me ask this question. Forgive me if it's stupid, though. You know, people have been speculating as the games remaining draw fewer and fewer. Are the Lakers going to make the playoffs? Does it really matter if they make the playoffs, Money? Or clearly they're not going all the way. They're not even going to the semifinals. What does it make a difference if they make the playoffs or not?
Yes and no. I mean, and that's always been my point, being is when they get on these streaks. You know, they've won 6 of their last 8. They'll probably win tonight against Charlotte, so that's 7-9. That's a good run. My point is, okay, so you get in and you draw the Oklahoma City Thunder. You're going to get it waxed. So this is championship or bust. That's what this team is. It doesn't matter. You know, it's not a moving target. Target has remained fixed, and that's win the NBA championship.
But I'll just say this. Last season, the Kings barely got into the 8th spot, and they went on a crazy run.
Hockey's totally different.
It is?
Totally, yeah. I mean, you'll see 8 seeds. You know, they're the first one that won, but we've seen 3 of them make it to the NHL final.
But you don't think the Lakers, in the same way, can barely make the playoffs and then turn the momentum around?
In the history of the NBA, only one team lower than a 5 seed has won an NBA championship, and it was a 6 seed. It was the Houston Rockets the year Michael Jordan retired.
Yeah, but if you're coming at us with facts, then we can't counter that.
Right.
We got nothing against facts, buddy. Come on.
In hockey, you know, you get a hot goalie,
right,
and then you roll. And you just...
You can ride him the whole way.
Yeah, I mean, right. There's... Each team that's that far into the playoffs has one of those players that can catch fire, and then typically... But, you know, the one thing about, you know, why I say it's kind of two-pronged, Bean, is that, you know, look, the Lakers have a lot of good players. And, yes, if they get healthy and if they get in, then at least they can make a run at it and say, hey,
we
didn't really crap the bed that badly. You know, maybe we just...
We're still in it. We're still third. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. All right, let's talk about the Clippers just for a minute. We don't have much time, but it looks like Chris Paul and Chauncey Billups are both coming back tonight, right? And, I mean, the Clippers have missed a man. They have been on a skid this last 10 days.
Yeah, I mean, they've, you know, when you're losing games in Washington, and Toronto, it's hard to win games on the road. I mean, people fail to realize that, you know, you're out of your element. Yes, you're flying on a charter with fancy Chateaubriand being served to you, and you're staying in 5-star hotels, but... It's still a pain in the ass. I mean, traveling sucks, and it's hard to win games away from home, so it doesn't matter who they lost to, but this is a team that's challenging for a championship. I feel comfortable saying that. They have the right pieces. I expect them to make a move at the deadline to maybe get a better big man that they can trust on the floor late in games because they pulled DeAndre. He's terrible at the free throw line, or something like that to improve their chances. So, you know, to get Chris back, to get Chauncey back, those are your two veteran leaders. This is where the grind comes in. You hit the wall. You know, okay, it's 30 more games to go, guys. I know there's 30 too many games in the NBA anyway, but just suck it up and play. And that's kind of what those guys are really going to help with a lot of these younger guys to push through who, you know, like Blake with the hamstring. And all these guys have these little ailments, and you need dudes like Chauncey and Chris to say, I don't care how your hamstring feels, get the hell out there and play basketball.
Lakers are playing Charlotte tonight, actually this afternoon at 4, and then the Clippers have the Miami Heat tonight. So good times.
That,
and then you and the P are going to be on the radio this afternoon on AM 570. Great to have you on, man. Have a terrific weekend. We'll talk to you again soon.
Great to be had on. Thanks, guys.
Hey, Money, I'm sorry I almost killed you.
Hey, F you.
Want to see Muse tonight at the Grammy Museum at LA Live? We can hook you up and we'll preview the big show airing this Sunday on CBS right after the top of the hour. First, Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat. Good morning, Ralph.
Don't talk about music.
Why?
Don't talk about music.
Why? What?
Because today's the day the music died.
What are you
That's
talking about?
That's why.
I thought that was Sunday, the 3rd of February.
No.
I don't even understand that reference, but go ahead.
Today's the day the music died.
Why?
What's going on, Ralph? What's happened? What's the bad news?
Paul Tanner's gone. Paul Tanner's gone.
Paul Tanner.
And he would be...
Oh, nothing. Just the guy who invented the freaking theremin. That's all.
Bean?
Oh,
you would
think Bean would know.
What? He's no theremin fan. Bean's no theremin
He's
fan.
He's a faker.
He is a poser.
I knew it.
A poser theremin
fan. Bandwagon.
I thought Dr. Theremin invented the theremin. Who's Paul Tanner?
You stupid son of a bitch.
Yeah, and Dr. Trumpet discovered the trumpet, too, Bean.
You dare to besmirch the name of Paul Tanner?
He did not invent the theremin. There's no way. I know that name if he invented the theremin. Come
Paul
on.
Tanner, who played trombone with the Glenn Miller Orchestra from 1938 to 1942.
Oh, I know that guy.
You don't know nothing.
Oh, yeah, I know that guy, too, then.
After he left the Glenn Miller Orchestra, he developed the electrotheremin.
What is that, by the way? I don't even know
what that is.
That is
the legendary musical instrument, Kevin. It's the sound. You've heard it in Good Vibrations by the Beach Boys. It's used in countless science fiction movies. And usually, in all those circumstances, Paul Tanner, the virtuoso of the electrotheremin, was the one playing that instrument.
He is the guy who played on Good Vibrations, in fact.
Oh, shut up! You know nothing of the theremin! You are no longer allowed to speak of the theremin!
The theremin was invented by theremin, though. Leon Theremin is the guy who invented that instrument, Tanner.
Leo didn't know crap.
Paul Tanner may have played the
technology.
The
theremin developed its use as a musical instrument. You die! Here's a little theremin for you.
That was pretty crappy.
Well, I asked for some theremin music, and Omar got something off a wax disc from Thomas Edison.
I love the theremin so much.
This is Leon Theremin playing, he says.
That's what Omar said.
Oh, really? How long do we have to listen to this?
I got about an hour of it.
I don't.
Hey!
I don't have that much time.
Theremin!
Ah, ran out. Sorry.
We need some more theremin music.
I'm sorry to hear about Mr. Tanner.
You're not allowed to speak of Paul Tanner.
He was a guy who played the theremin. I can't know every guy who played the theremin.
But you act like you do.
It's like saying, Eddie Van Halen's a guy who played the guitar. I can't know everyone who plays the guitar.
All right, that's it. That's the way.
What about Dr. Guitar? He's the guy I really care about. Who's this Eddie Van Halen you speak of? I have no interest in that. This Jai Mai Hendrix. Who's that person? All I know is Dr. Guitar.
Who knew Bean has been a poser this whole time with the theremin?
Poser. Mom? Poser.
Theremin's my favorite instrument.
You don't know nothing. Remember that former Navy SEAL, Chris Kyle, who wrote that book, American Sniper?
Certainly.
Yes. We had him on.
We had him on the show. Yeah. He was shot and killed last Saturday by that mentally ill Iraq war veteran at the shooting range.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Well, Bradley Cooper, it's just been announced, has had already negotiated the rights for that book, and he's going to produce and star in a movie about Chris Kyle's life.
No kidding.
Called American Sniper, yeah. So
that's a bummer of an ending.
Yeah, it was all happening just before he died, and then for this to happen, I guess they have an ending for their movie now.
Wow.
But it's crazy, all the stuff he went through, and then to die in that way. It's just seems unfair in some way. And this Sunday, you're going to be watching the Grammys?
Yes. Yes,
sure.
Yes, I will. Special, looking forward to it.
Special tribute to Lee Von Helm, late drummer and singer for the band.
Very excited.
I don't know
about
anything
that.
About Lee Von Helm. I just know Professor Drum. That's all I know.
Oh, there's Lee Von Helm now.
Elton John and Mumford & Sons are going to team up to do the tribute.
That's weird.
That should be awesome.
You know, it's funny. The Grammys, they try this all the time. You have to give them credit for trying these pairings, I think. They put together artists that don't normally go together. Sometimes they're a disaster.
No, but they're going to do The Weight. And if you think about it, have you know the song?
Yes.
Yeah.
Take the weight off Annie. That song? Mm-hmm. Elton John and Mumford & Sons doing that? It's going to be awesome.
I think so. I think so.
Lee Von, of course, was a legend, passed away last year at the age of 71 of cancer. So they're going to be doing a little tribute. Also helping out. During that number is going to be T-Bone Burnett, Mavis Staples, Zach Brown, and Brittany Brown of Alabama Shakes. So it's going to be
Brittany Howard.
Brittany Howard, I'm sorry.
That should be great. There's so many great performances on this year's Grammys. Yeah. I mean, it's wall to wall. It's amazing the stuff they're doing.
Interesting lineups. Today's celebrity birthdays: Ted Koppel, 73 years old today. Actor Nick Nolte is 72. Mary Steenburgen celebrates her 60th birthday today. Is it Steenburgen or Steenburgen? I've heard it both ways.
I've heard it both ways too.
I think it's Steenburgen.
Okay, Mary McCormick. Is it McCormack or is it or is it McCormowitz? I've heard it both ways.
It's Schmidt, which is so
That's
weird.
So weird because that thing with the with the food.
You'd never know.
44 years old today. Seth Green. Is it Grine or is it Green?
I've heard it's it Dr. both Green.
Ways. Oh, I see.
Thumb. Seth Green.
What?
He's Seth Green.
No, he's great. He's 39 years old today. Kimbo Slice of the UFC is 39 as
it's
well.
It's all good, man. We still gonna have the after party.
Oh, good. Phoenix.
Of got Lincoln nothing Park. On Phoenix, sorry.
Come on.
Phoenix was at the last UFC.
Really?
Sitting right up front, yeah.
He must... Yeah. What? Maybe huge. He's a Kimbo Slice fan. Maybe they got the same birthday. Maybe that's why.
It's the Jose Aldo fight.
Jeremy Davis of Paramore is 28 years old, and pro surfer Bethany Hamilton celebrates her 23rd birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
That's Muse. We'll give you the signal to call in about 6 minutes or so to win those tickets for the K-Rock pre-Grammy party with Muse tonight at the Grammy Museum at LA Live. Speaking of the Grammys, so looking forward to the show this weekend. Very excited to hear what our friend Randall Roberts from the Los Angeles Times, he is the pop music critic, thinks will happen this Sunday night. Randall, welcome back to the show. How are you, sir?
I'm doing well. I'm excited, actually, for this year. I think it's going to be a good year, especially for rock.
I think so, too, but I think you're both getting your level of excitement too high.
Look, here's the thing about the Grammys.
How many times have you been disappointed by the Grammys when you thought it was going to be great?
Most.
Well,
most times.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, most times. But every year there's something. There's
I agree.
Something that happens.
But here's the thing about the Grammys in particular, even more than a lot of the other award shows, and that's that there are so few awards. Don't they only hand out like 10 awards or something like that? It's a 3-plus-hour show, which means it is basically tuning into a live greatest hits concert. I mean, it's wall-to-wall music of combinations in many cases you've never seen before. I think that's just exciting.
Yeah, I agree. They give out 10 awards, and they're all the big heavy hitters, so it's fun to watch, and you don't have to hear musicians rambling on and thanking people. You get to hear them play.
This is the first year in a long time that a lot of K-Rock bands have actually been anywhere near the Grammys, so that's exciting for us as well.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Let me mention just a couple of quick performances, then we'll move on with you, Randall, and talk about who you think will win in some of the major categories. For instance, the tribute to Bob Marley with Bruno Mars, Rihanna, and Sting, plus some of the Marley kids. It sounds like Ziggy and Damian might be there. That sounds like it's going to be fun. You got the Black Keys playing with the that New Orleans band, the Preservation Hall Band. That could be a super interesting performance. This one sounds great, and I just started hearing about it yesterday. A supergroup featuring Chuck D from Public Enemy, LL Cool J, Blink-182 drummer Travis Barker, Rage Against the Machine guitarist Tom Morello, and DJ Z-Trip. How about that for a combination on network television?
That sounds like either amazing or it could explode in everybody's face.
Oh, it sounds amazing. But either way, I like it.
Yeah, we were just talking about the tribute to Levon Helm, late of the band. We're talking about the great lineup of with Elton John and Brittany Howard from Alabama Shakes and Mavis Staples, T-Bone Burnett, Zach Brown are all going to be part of that. That also sounds like it could be amazing, too.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, let's. You talked about rock. Who's the big winner? Like when we wake up on Monday morning, Randall, who are we going to say, wow, did they win the Grammys?
I would say that it may be fun just because of We Are Young. They're nominated in all four of the major categories. So we may be talking about them. We may be talking about Frank Ocean as well, the R&B singer who's Channel Orange.
Right. It's a great album.
Channel Orange. Yeah, it is. It's a great album, and it's nominated with a lot of rock stuff. So the rock stuff might split the vote, and Frank may come out ahead for Album of the Year.
Both of those that you mentioned, Fun and Frank Ocean, are up for Best New Artist, along with the Alabama Shakes, Hunter Hayes, and the Lumineers. Which one, Randall, you've been following pop music for a long time for the LA Times. Which one of those artists do you think will still be around in 5 years?
Alabama Shakes.
Really?
Yeah, I think they're in it for the long haul, and I think Frank Ocean will be as well. Fun, you know, I love that song, but I feel like that could be a one-hit wonder. They're really going to have to prove something on their next record. And let's not even talk about Hunter Hayes, if that's okay.
No, that's fine. Most of our listeners don't know who he is, and they're not missing a thing. The album of the year, of course, Black Keys, who just have a tremendous amount of nominations, which, by the way, this is a perfect example of what we're talking about. This is the kind of band that I feel like 5 years ago would have gotten one nomination in the alternative category, and now suddenly they're recognized as a great mainstream artist, and they're up for a lot of major awards.
That's great. Those guys are just great guys, and they're workers, and they've been doing this for a long time. And El Camino, I just think it's a classic rock album.
Instant classic.
It's just a great record.
Yep. They're up for Album of the Year against The Fun, Some Nights, Mumford & Sons' Babel, who everyone seems to love, Frank Ocean, Channel Orange, Jack White, Blunderbuss, who I'm so excited to see perform also. Who do you think is going to win Album of the Year, Randall?
I think it's going to be Frank Ocean.
Wow.
I think that it's an important record for any number of reasons, and for what I've said before, I feel like any of the voters, you know, voting for Jack White over El Camino, Black Keys, I mean, that'll split some votes.
Right.
I feel like, I don't know, but that's, you know, that's kind of wonky talk. As far as my favorite record out of all those, either El Camino or Channel Orange.
Wonky talk is my favorite kind of movie.
I haven't actually heard much about Jack White's appearance, though. Is he does get a spotlight, right? They're going to let him come out and play, right?
You know, actually, you stumped me on that. I should know that, and I don't know.
Because I thought I had heard at one point he was... Yeah, I thought I had heard he was going to play, but now that we're getting closer to the event and I'm starting to read about who's on, I don't see any mention of him. So that's got me be very disappointed if they don't let him.
I didn't see him on the rehearsal schedule, but I don't know. Sorry, I should know that.
He's a tough one to keep track of, though.
Yeah. Do you go to the Grammys, Randall, or do you like staying home and watching it on the TV?
Well, because of my job, I need to stay at home and watch it on the TV and really experience it the way that everybody else experiences it. We have people that go to the Grammys, and I've been backstage and done that, and I prefer sitting at home and turning up the music and watching it.
What is what's LATimes.com going to be doing on Sunday night? You got anyone live blogging it?
Oh yeah, we're all over the place. We've got 6-7 people around at the Grammys, backstage at the Grammys, outside, and then we'll be live blogging as well. We're all over the place.
Fantastic. Really looking forward to the coverage. LA Times pop music critic Randall Roberts be reading the site starting Sunday as the people start to arrive, and then throughout the evening, and then, of course, you'll have a lot of coverage on Monday as well. Glad we got a chance to chat with you, Randall. Have fun Sunday night, man. I'm looking forward to it, too.
Yep, thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Talk to you soon. All right, pre-Grammy party is going to be tonight with Muse at the Grammy Museum at LA Live. What are we looking for this time around, Kevin?
I don't think anything specific. We're playing Total Recall.
Oh, okay.
So you got to kind of have general knowledge of music-related things. I mean, it's not very specific, but 1-800-520-1067. Don't call if you can't go tonight, because that's when it is, but call right now, and we'll do that content.
LaQuisha takes a look at last night's Buck Wild on MTV coming up, plus our friend Jim Jeffries, who's a hilarious comedian and has one of the funniest shows on TV right now called Legit. He joins us in the 8 o'clock hour. First, though, want to give away the very final pair of tickets for the K-Rock pre-Grammy party tonight with Muse. It's at the Grammy Museum at LA Live. Kevin, I know how much you love Muse. You saw him at Staples Center last week.
Yes.
Imagine seeing him like in a room the size of your kitchen.
I know. I can't wait.
It's going to be incredible. Anyway, 1-800-520-1067 if you want to play Total Recall. Total Recall, that's the game that we play. If you want tickets to K-Rock's pre-Grammy party with Muse. Oh, yeah! Total Recall, you'll get to party with Muse. That's what you will win. All you have to do is recall. Oh, yeah! What's happening?
I don't know.
What is happening? All right. Here's the way the game is played. I'm going to give you a category. You're going to have 10 seconds on the clock to name 5 of the things in that category. Sounds pretty easy. Wait till you try it. Who's our first contestant, Kevin?
That would be April, a high school teacher. Hi, April.
Hi.
Hi, April. If you are able to name 5 things in 10 seconds, you will go into the drawing, and you could find yourself at the K-Rock pre-Grammy party with Muse. You ready to play?
Uh-huh.
All right, listen up. Muse, of course, is one of the biggest bands in the world. They are from England, including Muse. Name 5 rock bands from England. Good luck.
The Smiths. Oh, my God. Okay, the Smiths, the Beatles, the Who.
Sorry.
I gave you Muse, so you really only have to name 4.
I know. Yeah.
You got the Smiths covered, though.
Smiths covered a couple times.
I'm totally nervous. Hey, you guys, I love you guys.
Thank
you're
you,
awesome.
April. Thank you.
And I just want to let you know that I love Muse. I saw them twice
Thank
when
you.
They were here. So have a
Thank
great
you.
Day.
You're very nice. Thank you.
Oh, you're so sweet.
Now we wish you would have won, but sorry.
I do, too. And she's going to be driving around today, and it's going to hit her. She's going to go, oh, Depeche Mode. Oh, Mumford & Sons. Oh, The Clash. All right, who's up next?
All right, next we have Enrique. Hi, Enrique.
How's it going?
Enrique's a PI, if you believe that.
All right.
Nice. All right, here's your question. 5 in 10 seconds. Muse's current album is called The Second Law. We found out yesterday that Kevin has broken all of California's traffic laws. Name any 5 things that you can get a traffic ticket for. Good luck.
Speeding, reckless driving, drunk driving, carpooled finally.
Oh, you were so close. You got four. Yeah.
Oh,
running stop signs, illegal lane changes, reckless driving, illegal U-turn, suspended light. There are a lot of them on there. But again, that's what's tough about this game is 10 seconds, man. It goes by fast. Thanks for playing.
All right, let's go to Hope. Hi, Hope.
Hi.
What just happened?
Wait. Why are we talking to two people?
Hi.
Wait a minute. What was that?
You're not Hope.
No, that's my mom.
What?
Okay.
All right. Who's playing the game? You or mom?
I'll play the game.
All right. What's your name?
Okay. I'm Freddie.
This is awesome, shaky from the very beginning.
Very weird. This is very weird. All right, Freddie. Listen up. Muse's lead singer is a young man named Matthew Bellamy. Here's what I want from you. Name five other famous people named Matt or Matthew. Good luck.
Matthew from the Bible.
All right.
Matt LePunk.
I don't know.
Matt LePunk was so good on Friends.
I think Matt LeBlanc is who you were looking for. Matthew McConaughey, Matthew Perry, Matthew Broderick, Matt Lauer. Damon. There's a whole bunch of
you
Matt
should let
Damon.
Mom play.
Yeah, I think so. All right. I guess we're into sudden death here, Lisa, because so far nobody has even gotten in for a drawing.
But
so
everybody's
I'm a little
close.
Bit nervous. I know. It's tough. Everybody's it's a hard close. Game.
All right. Sophia, hi.
Yeah, hi.
All right. We're in sudden death. So if you get this, you win the tickets.
Oh,
Sophia, how have you been doing listening on hold, listening to the other contestants? Do you think you would have gotten any of those?
I would have gotten the traffic violations because I've already paid the state of California.
Yeah, okay. That's my girl.
She's one of Kevin's people. All right. Good luck to you. Muse, as you know, is very interested in space travel. They have several albums and song titles named after astronomical terms. Name any five objects you might expect to see in space. Good luck.
Asteroid, comet, meteor, star, sun, planets.
I think she did it.
With like 4 seconds left over.
That's unbelievable.
I said, don't take it easy.
You're going to see Muse tonight.
Sophia.
Sorry.
Take it easy.
Thanks a lot for playing Total Recall and listening to Kevin and Bean. Our friend Jim Jefferies, hilarious stand-up comedian, man, the star of TV's Legit, joins us in the 8 o'clock hour, and we're going to give you some tickets to go see him tonight in concert as well. First, though, LaQuisha joins us on the phone, like she do on Fridays, talking about MTV's Buck Wild, which, LaQuisha, we thought about you this week when we read the news that it has been renewed for a second season.
Yeah, uh-huh.
Wait, you're not excited about
that? I have fun watching that.
What?
You guys enjoy watching that.
But you're our correspondent.
Not any longer.
It's your show, though.
Finale. Let me enjoy this being the season finale of Buck Wild.
All right, we'll get
talk about anything
else. All right, then we'll get back to you in a week.
So anyway, on last night's Buck Wild, Katie and Tyler, you know, they're a couple. So Katie breaks the news to her mom that she's got a new boyfriend. They're sitting in the nail salon getting the nails painted, just having girl talk like girls do. And Katie starts to tell her mom all about her new boyfriend.
He's great, though. He's such a good guy. He's so sweet, and he's so nice. But he's really, really, really stupid. Like, really stupid. But he's really cute.
But he's really cute, so that's okay. I thought only men thought that way, but apparently girls do, too. Now, Katie and Tyler, you know, they just started dating, so Tyler is going to bring her along on their favorite activity that the Buck Wild kids do.
Mudding.
Now, Katie's kind of sophisticated. She's gone to college, and she has book learning and things. And so she's never been mudding before, and she doesn't quite grasp the concept.
Is it fun? What do you guys do when you mud?
Get in a truck and you hit mud holes.
Yeah, it's not complicated, Katie. They get in a truck and they drive through mud. Now, everybody started to pair up now. You got Katie and Tyler. Shane really wants to be with Kara, but she won't give him the time of day. And Joey and Dre, they're together, and Shane is not too happy about that.
Ever since Joey took Shane on that date, they've been stuck up each other's ass so far they can smell each other's lunch.
Yeah.
Oh, he can really turn a phrase.
Wow.
Can
he? Wow, what a poet.
He's like a young Oscar Wilde. Now, Katie goes through the mudding experience when she's driving through the mud holes, bouncing all around. And I tell you, there's nothing better than mudding. Just ask Katie.
I
don't like mudding.
Oh, well, maybe not. We discovered a new talent that Shane had last night. I had no idea he was capable of this, but it explains, well, it's pretty obvious when you think about it. How do we not know?
Shane, watch this. I can talk pig language.
What's happening?
He talks pig language better than he talks English.
Hey, LaQuisha?
Yeah.
That's on TV?
That is on TV.
Okay.
And I'll tell you something. That, if you've ever seen the movie Deliverance, that scene takes on a whole new meaning when you hear him making those noises.
Yes, it does.
Now, it is hot. It's hot. It's summertime. And so they have to engage in some hillbilly recreation. So what they do is they take plastic tops and put it all over the backyard. And then they squeeze dish soap all over it and water to make it slippery.
Sure.
And in the middle, they put a backhoe. And they tie a rope to the crane of the backhoe. And somebody gets in the cab and just spins the backhoe all round and round and round while someone holds on to the rope.
Okay.
Does that sound fun?
No, it doesn't.
We're going to tie a rope around it, and it's going to spin us round and round. Redneck water skiing.
That sounds dangerous.
Call it redneck water skiing.
Right.
How come? Why aren't all the rednecks dead? They really should be dead. All the things they engage in, what they eat, what they drink with moonshine and eating squirrels and going around and around on a skip hole and swimming in radioactive water. And why aren't they all dead?
They're more set up for a post-apocalyptic world than we are, though.
Yes,
they're going to live forever.
I agree. West Virginia citizens are the cockroaches of humanity.
Yes.
Now, Shane Gandy, that's his last name, Shane Gandy, he is really into this Kara, and she doesn't want none of it. But it looks like she may be coming around a little bit. His persistence may be swaying her a little.
It's been a long time coming, but I think Kara finally got herself a sweet tooth. There's only one thing for that, and that's the Gandy candy.
Ew.
Oh, wow.
The Gandy candy.
No.
His last name is Gandy.
Right.
Sure.
And he's like a young Gandhi, too, when you think about it.
Oh.
Mahatma Gandhi, you know, the one who created all that peace over there in India.
Right.
Well,
good comparison.
I think they're very similar. I think they both wear diapers. Well, here's the thing. Now, I told you Katie and Tyler were together at the beginning of this episode. Now, Tyler's very stupid, but Katie thinks he's very cute, and they're very young and in love. But Katie finds out while she was away for the weekend, old stupid Tyler had sex with her best friend, Ashley.
Oh, no, he didn't.
Yeah, he did. Can you believe a boy that stupid would have sex with somebody's best friend of his girlfriend? And she finds out and she confronts him. And I can't tell. I'm not good at reading people, but I don't think Katie took the news well.
Right. Oh, my God.
What do you think? Did you think she took it okay?
I didn't understand a word. She could have been excited?
She was very upset.
Okay.
Yeah. And at the end of the finale, they all get together, having a bonfire and, you know, talking about how they all had sex with each other all summer.
Right.
And Shane decides to pull his big trick out of his bag to sway Kara. He has taken a bunch of pipe and shaped it to spell out C plus S for Kara and Shane.
Okay.
And then attached his father's propane tank from the heater.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
To the pipes. And then he throws a road flare at the whole setup.
No, please, no. These people should be dead.
It explodes the gas and makes gas flames come out of the pipes in the shape of C plus S. That's his big romantic gesture. But he has to time it right. He has to wait to the part of the evening where it'll make the biggest impression.
The night's winding down. Everybody's got a belly full of squirrels. Oh. Now's my time.
Yeah. When you're trying to make an impression, it's really best to wait for everybody to have a belly full of squirrels.
I've heard you say that 1,000 times,
LaQuisha. Well, words to live by. And that one. was last night's season finale of Buck Wild.
Oh, I can't wait for next season.
No, I'm not doing next
season.
We'll
talk to you then, LaQuisha. LaQuisha.
What? Not you. Come on.
Stop it.
You survived the whole season and now this. Oh, this is terrible.
Oh, stop.
I feel bad.
I'm sorry. I had a belly full of squirrels.
Jim Jefferies, right after the top of the hour here on a Friday morning. Right now, Ralph's got the showbiz beat. What's going on, Ralph?
Well, it's not going to sound like showbiz initially when I start talking about it, but the search goes on, of course, for Christopher Dorner.
Oh, yeah.
This former cop who now has murdered at least three people that we know of. State is searching everywhere for him, trying to bring him in. And you would say, what does that have to do with show business? Well, have you read his manifesto?
No, it's really long.
It's lengthy.
I saw the first 100,000 words, but I lost interest after that.
Tremendously lengthy. He does talk about the LAPD, of course, which he was a member
it's
of.
It's depressing, too.
Accuses them of racism, and he's just unhappy on every level.
Yeah. It's kind of a manifesto slash suicide note
right.
slash,
yeah.
good, you know, here's my explanation for everything I'm about to do note.
Slash showbiz beat.
What are you talking about?
I'm talking about the fact that he makes a lot of good points about a lot of showbiz stuff in his manifesto, if you read it.
Like what?
Like what? I'm not making this up, but here's some actual quotes from his manifesto that I think are very... the guy's, he's a crazed murderer, but I think he makes some excellent points about showbiz.
You can be crazed and make good points.
Everybody's got their good side. I think this kid's got a future in showbiz.
So is he team Chris Humphreys? Is that where we're coming down on here?
Off the record, he writes, I love your new bangs, Mrs. Obama.
No.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. A woman whose professional and educational accomplishments are second to none when compared to recent first wives. That's nice.
He put that in the middle of all of his I'm going to kill police?
Yeah. This is another part that sounds sort of like a suicide note. It's kind of sad. I won't be around to view and enjoy The Hangover 3.
Really?
Kevin would never go through this until Hangover 3 came out. Kevin would definitely put on hold whatever crimes until he got a chance to see that.
What an awesome trilogy. Todd Phillips, don't make any more Hangovers after the third because it takes away the originality of its foundation.
This is crazy.
World War Z looks good.
It does.
And The Walking Dead Season 3, second half looks intriguing. Damn, I'm going to miss Shark Week, writes Christopher.
Wow.
Ellen DeGeneres, continue your excellent contribution to entertaining America and bringing the human factor to entertainment. Tim Tebow, I really want to see you take charge of an offense again and the game. You're not a good quarterback by today's standards, but you're a great footballer who knows how to lead a team and win.
I think I agree with this guy on almost all of this showbiz stuff.
Christoph Waltz, you impressed me in Inglourious Bastards. After viewing Django Unchained, I was sold. I have come to the conclusion that you are well on your way to becoming one of the greats, if not already, and show glimpses of Daniel Day-Lewis and Morgan Freeman-esque type qualities of greatness. Trust me when I say you will be one of the greatest ever.
Why would he put all of this stuff in this note about this rant about the police, Ralph?
It's his last hurrah.
Because he feels like people are finally listening to him, so
maybe.
You're going to hear what I have to say?
Yeah. Maybe. Having said that, I hope they shoot him dead.
Back Charlie Sheen, you're effing awesome. Larry David, I agree. 72 to 82 degrees is way too hot for a residence. 68 degrees is perfect.
My God.
Wow.
There's no differentiation between his manifesto and Larry King's tweets.
That's true. That's very true.
Mr. Bill Cosby, you are a reasonable and talented man who has spoken the truth. Of the cultural anomalies within the black communities that need to change now. And then he goes on and lists an entire list of women. Jennifer Beal, Serena Williams, Erica Christensen, Gabrielle Union, Isabella Soprano, Tamron Hall, Gina Carano, American Ferrera, Natalie Portman, Queen Latifah, Rochelle Rodriguez, Kelly Clarkson, Nora Jones, Laura Prepon, Margaret Cho, and Rutina Wesley. You are the most beautiful women on the planet, period.
Boy, he doesn't have a type, does he?
Never settle, professionally or personally. He goes on and on. So that's just some of his insightful showbiz takes from his manifesto that he sent to Anderson Cooper, by the way.
I hope they give him a show on E! If they don't shoot him dead.
He sent all this to Anderson Cooper as well.
What do you mean he sent it to Anderson
Cooper? He sent it.
He
sent the package to Anderson Cooper. Yeah. I think he's got a particular affection for Mr. Cooper and his work. Where's that last thing I wanted to say? I can't find it now. But he has some advice for Anderson Cooper.
How to make his show better?
How to make his show better. Yeah. Oh, damn it, I lost it. I'll see if I can find it for the next one. But, yeah.
That's weird.
But he refers to him as Coop, which I thought was funny. It's like, Coop, keep doing what you're doing. So. Yeah.
That's all too weird.
Look, that's if the craziest guy thinks Margaret Cho is beautiful, he has to be insane. I'd say just take him out for that. That should be an offense right there, I think. Stick with today's celebrity birthdays. Ted Koppel, 73 years old today. Actor Nick Nolte turned 72. Mary Steenburgen is 60 years old. Mary McCormick from In Plain Sight and The West Wing is 44. Seth Green, our good friend Seth, celebrates his 39th birthday today. Kimbo Slice, also 39. Dave Phoenix Farrell of Linkin Park is 36. Jeremy Davis, good day for bassists. He's a bassist for Paramore, is 28. And pro surfer Bethany Hamilton celebrates her 23rd birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Performing at Club Nokia tonight. Tickets available through Ticketmaster.com is our friend Jim Jeffries, who joins us in studio here on the Kevin.
Oh, hello.
Oh, you know, I'm sorry, Jim. I just realized we have to bump you. I'm sorry. We don't have time for you.
You've heard about me getting bumped everywhere, have you? I get bumped for the Cop Killer off Good Day LA, which, may I say, I didn't even know that show did news. I've never watched
it. It really doesn't, for the most part.
It's normally just two women standing around going, "Where'd you get those earrings?" Oh, oh, I'm going to tell a story now about a puppy and a seal, the most unlikely of friends.
So you're going to do that show and you got bumped.
And I got bumped from Kimmel last night. I was meant to be a guest on Kimmel.
Well, what happened with that?
Someone played in the Super Bowl and they wanted that guy on more than me.
How could they make that choice?
But I'm doing that in March. So,
who wants to see Joe Flacco talk? He doesn't even have any good jokes. Was come it? On.
Yeah, I'm funnier than Flacco.
You are. Absolutely. But did you win a Super Bowl?
I watched that entire Super Bowl because I was in an airplane, and it's the first time I've ever watched a full American football match. And it's not a bad sport.
Right.
I've decided the thing that I hate about it, and most foreign people don't like the pads, is the bit that
they don't like the pads.
Yeah, because it's like rugby and rugby league. They don't use pads, right? You don't use pads.
But they're idiots. Yeah, that's the way we look at it.
But we have this thing where it's like, if you wear the pads, it's a bit wussy, right? And that doesn't bother me. What bothers me about the sport is the dancing.
There's a lot of dancing.
The hell out of me. Yeah. It's like when the guy runs the longest touchdown in history.
Right.
He gets into the end zone. This is the best moment in this guy's life. The single greatest little moment in his life. Now, a soccer player will score a goal and then rip his shirt off and then run around. I like that because it's an animalistic reaction. It's just,
I don't know what to do.
But it's when they stop, he does a touchdown, and then he does that little duck dance with his hands. and that's what his brain went through. His brain went through, this is the greatest moment of my life. What will I do? Dance like a fool.
I do get the impression, by the way, that one thing all NFL players think of is, what am I going to do if I ever score a touchdown? I've got to have my own unique dance that has to be a crowd pleaser. They rehearse it and they practice and they're ready for it when it comes. It is weird.
That's his point, is that they not only do that on the spur of the moment, they plan it.
It is weird. They're meant to be the toughest guys in the world. It's like also the guys that are in the defensive thing, when they tackle, they sack the quarterback.
They usually do some kind of
dance. And then the guy did this thing like he was a conductor, right? He did this thing like he was a conductor. And you're like, no! No, that's your job, idiot. Your job is to do that. If every time I told a good joke, I went and did a little duck dance and a conductor thing in the corner of the stage, everyone would go, oh, yeah.
I kind of agree with you, Jim. I feel like there's entirely too much celebrating going on during the game of football. Sometimes on every play, somebody is celebrating. I don't think you have anything to celebrate until the end. Until you win the game, that's when it's okay to celebrate, I say.
You can celebrate a touchdown if it's a vital one. Or, there's nothing wrong with just sliding on your stomach and screaming, right? Or even kissing another man. If that is like the moment where you're just like, oh, I'm so happy, right?
So you would pick kissing another man over doing the duck dance.
I would pick kissing another man because You haven't rehearsed that.
Ah, there you go.
Oh, you might have. I don't know. A lot of shenanigans might go on in the dressing room.
How long have you lived in the United States,
John? 4 years. 3 years properly, but then you know, three and a half.
So you're a heterosexual guy with
friends. Hey, I never said that.
That's right. Let's ask that question first. Look, I've seen the ladies. I know. Listen, yes. My question is, how have you waited? How has it been 4 years you've been in America as a heterosexual man with male friends and not watched a football game before Sunday?
I've watched bits and pieces.
Great question.
I've never watched a full one. It just stops and starts too much. Just the timeouts and the... Oh.
Well, you know there's only 11 minutes of football in a 3.5-hour game, right?
I'm sure that's true, yes.
But it is true. But 11 minutes.
But the one game that you watch, the Super Bowl, is much slower than regular games. Well, there's more commercials, more breaks, blackouts.
That whole thing.
And Beyonce comes out. Beyonce doesn't come out at every game, does she?
No, I wish she did.
I was a big fan of when she brought Destiny's Child out, and it was just, why don't you just say, look, my career's going better, and you have to hang on my scraps.
It was sort of tossing them a bone.
Well, it's like they did one song together that they did from Destiny's Child, and then she made her sing backup on one of her songs.
Yeah. Right.
After they had that whole back catalog. Now it's like, come on, girls, sing one of my songs. And their souls just died a little bit as they're there going, if you like it, then you should put a ring on it. And then, like, the song before that, Beyonce is such a prick. The song
what are you talking about?
The song before that is like the shoes on my feet. I bought it. I'm an independent woman. And then the next song is, buy me a ring.
Buy me a ring.
And you are right that Destiny's Child came out and they did that, you know, song and a half or something. And then she dismissed them. I mean, she basically on stage said, all right, girl, see you later. It was like, get the F out of my shot.
Yeah, see you later. I didn't even know. I knew Kelly Rowland. Is the other one a replacement? I don't even remember that one.
I don't know.
No, that was Michelle Williams.
Oh, see,
She's one of the Destiny's ones. Yeah.
Yeah,
so,
cool.
Well, look at that. Hearing what the Super Bowl is like from a foreigner's perspective. That's interesting.
They're running out of legends to have at that halftime.
Well, that's true.
Thank God, by the way. I'm so happy that they had somebody that people care about on the Super Bowl, somebody contemporary. Don't keep dredging classic rock from the 60s on that show. It drives me crazy.
The best one ever was Paul McCartney at halftime.
I thought
he was great.
Nope. Look,
and the Stones was cool.
I love
the Stones.
The Stones.
Oh, the Stones.
The Stones.
That's what you said.
Yeah, the Stones. And the Who weren't good.
No, the Who were terrible.
Springsteen was great. I don't know. I'm just happy to see somebody younger. That's all. I think it's time. All right, we got to take a break. Club Nokia is where it's happening tonight. Tickets available through Ticketmaster.com to see the great Jim Jefferies on stage. When we return, we talked some more to Jim about, well, whatever he wants, but especially Legit, which is one of the best comedies on TV on the FX networks. More after this on the Kevin and Bean Show on Kevin. Does Jim Jefferies seem like the kind of guy who ought to be responsible for a baby?
No.
Yeah.
Nobody asks before all that happens.
They
so
don't. That's
it
true.
It just happens.
I'm not responsible for other people's babies, just mine.
No, but even your own. That's yours.
Shouldn't your girlfriend or hooker or whoever it was should have just taken the baby and run once it happened when you're the father?
Yeah, I got the money.
Oh, there's that. It's
a weird thing is that when she goes out to get a haircut or something like that, I take care of the baby. And it turns out you're not allowed to call it babysitting when it's your baby.
Correct. Yeah,
the girl gets really offended by that. You go, I've been babysitting all day.
It feels like you should be getting paid if you're babysitting, right? That's how you look at it.
Exactly. I'm looking forward to that era, though, of the 15-year-old girls coming over. Nothing creepy.
No, it doesn't sound creepy. That's not really good. He's already looking ahead. Jim Jefferies is here. He did not get bumped, I'd like to point out for the record. We had him scheduled, and he appeared, and we put him on. He's at Club Nokia tonight. Tickets available through Ticketmaster.com. You can't have a better time watching a comedian on stage than Jim Jefferies.
He is the height of inappropriateness.
Yeah.
Yes, he is.
I think there's less than 200 tickets left. So I know it's only stuff up in the nosebleeds.
Get in.
Way to sell it. It's only nosebleed seats.
There's also standing room. Standing room.
Standing room. All right. It's funny that Kevin said how inappropriate you are, because we were talking about your show earlier today when we first came on. I think they put extra warnings on your show. Like, it's almost like they break into the middle of scenes to say, we just want to remind you that this show is inappropriate and unrelevant. There's lots of sex talk and there's lots of garbage, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, I don't think it's that inappropriate.
It's
maybe
that inappropriate.
Is it?
Yeah, it
giving
is.
Giving a hand to a disabled person is inappropriate?
When his
mom
walks
thing
in.
The thing is that how that scene was written, I was doing that to DJ Qualls anyway, and we were thinking, wouldn't that be funny to put that on TV?
Well, explain the scene. Explain the scene in radio-friendly terms if you can, Jim.
Well, I'm with my friend who's got muscular dystrophy, played by DJ Qualls, a skinny kid out of Road Trip, and the skinny white guy out of Hustle and Flow.
Or, he's great.
Or the white guy out of Hustle and Flow.
Sure.
So I can say HJ.
Yes, you can say HJ.
Okay, so he's in the chair, and he is wanting to have Skype sex with a girl on the internet. And so, because he can't move his hands, I put my hand down there so the girl will think that it's his hand.
Because she doesn't know he's disabled.
He doesn't know he's disabled, yeah.
Oh, so I was dying when that was happening. I just kept thinking, he's not going to do that. He's not going to do that.
Friend.
He's not going to do that.
It's a good friend, man.
Yeah.
I used to work with disabled.
I don't want a friend that good.
I used to work with disabled people, and there was a nurse who used to go around and...
No way.
Yeah, used to fix everyone
really?
Up. Yeah, all the people who couldn't do it. She was a very sweet girl.
I guess so.
And she said it never took long. But they're always...
Did she get extra pay?
What's a minute out of my day?
Right. Yeah, they're always backed up, you know.
Oh, my God. Well, even on last night's show, Jim, which I got up this morning and watched, I was so looking forward to. Even on last night's show, there's a scene where DJ's mom is yelling at him because he's always getting erections, like he has any control over it and like he can do anything about it. I mean, I guess that just would be an awkward thing that happens
That's
to you if
just
you're paralyzed.
One of the joys of taking care of the disabled. You know, I don't mean to sound rude, right? But until you've seen Down syndrome genitalia, you haven't lived. They're stacked.
How is that not rude?
They are stacked, I'm telling you. I don't think this is offensive because I'm being so complimentary, but I'm telling you, it's
You're
proportional.
Jealous?
They're big, man.
Wow, they have not talked about that much.
Who knew?
Why
would they keep that a secret?
Yeah.
I don't know.
You're the first person I've ever heard bring that up.
It's because you haven't been polite enough to ask.
Now, the network knew what they were getting. FX was aware of Jim Jefferies, obviously, and you gave them a compelling pitch, and they put you on. But once they got the show on the air, do they then come to you and say, you got to tone it down? Is there any way you can not put us through
this? They've been pretty good. Occasionally, they say, no, that we can't do that joke. You know what I mean?
Do you throw stuff in on purpose just to throw them a bone?
We do so much ad-libbing that there's always some stuff that we go, okay, this will get in, this won't get in. You know, I did a rant about rape in an episode that got a little bit out of hand, and we wanted a couple of jokes in, and then they take some other ones out.
Right.
Yeah, we're not stupid. The only rule that we have is we can't say the C word, and it turns out we can't even say the C word.
You can't say... Really?
You can't say the sentence, the C word.
Really?
Because then people start thinking about the C word, and so we can't... Yeah,
no
so
that, kidding.
So we had to fight to get it said once on last night's episode.
Yes, yes, it's on last night's episode about five times, Kevin.
What a weird...
But we're not allowed to ever do that again in another episode, even reference the scene.
But what a weird job that you have that's your battle.
Yeah, we can say everything but the F word and the C word.
Right.
But sometimes you
can... But can you say the F word, the sentence, the F word?
You can say the sentence, the F word, but whoever says the F word...
No,
you know what
does.
I mean? No one says the F word.
You can say effing, though, right?
Yeah.
You can say effing, or you can say frack, or something like that. You can say something stupid like that. But who wants to do that?
Yeah, I hear
friggin'. You know
what
I mean?
Why...
I always find it so weak when you hear someone say frickin' or something like that, and you just go, what are you doing?
Especially from you, Jim.
You're an
We expect
adult,
better from you.
And it's the whole thing, if you do it in front of children, then the children know, they think of the word in their head, and you've made the situation worse.
Let me play one clip from last night's episode of the Jim Jefferies Show, which is called Legit. It's on FX Thursday nights at 10:30, I want to say. This is a scene where you have, I won't give too much away, but you've had an altercation on an airplane with a fellow passenger who happens to be black and happens to be gay.
Yeah.
And when the plane lands, you try to apologize. And this is I think this in 30 seconds just sums up what's great about Jim Jefferies, because listen to how many times he digs himself into a hole and then tries to climb back out.
I just want to tell you I'm sorry. I was in the wrong, and I said some things that I didn't mean, and I'm sorry. I was angry at my girlfriend. I took it out on you, and it was wrong.
Thank you.
I actually like you people. I do. It's gays, not blacks. Not that I dislike blacks. Who would dislike? I think you should be able to get married. Once again, gays, not blacks. Black people can get married. Like here in Australia, we're very tolerant of you people. Gays and blacks. We don't have many blacks. Lots of gays, but we like them both. Anyway, I believe that gay people should get married because I believe that gay people should have equal rights. Have the same level of misery as the rest of us. Why should gay people be able to have a relationship and keep all of their money, eh? Not have to get lawyers involved. So to reiterate, I'm sorry.
There you go. That's the kind of apology you get from Jim Jefferies, or is it? Awesome. Let's take a break. Jim Jefferies is here, Club Nokia tonight. By the way, if you want to go, Jim mentioned there's only a few tickets left through Ticketmaster.com, but we are going to give away some. How about that? We got five pairs of tickets for Jim Jefferies fans to see the show tonight. You can call at 1-800-520-1067. More with our guest after this on K-Rock. Our pal Jim Jefferies on with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show in town tonight at the Club Nokia. Tickets available through Ticketmaster.com. Maybe not by now. We kind of mentioned it a few minutes ago that there were just a few left, but you ought to go see him if you can. I thought that Lisa was going to jump across the counter and strangle you a moment ago. We had to separate you two toward the end of the song. What's the problem here? What's the beef? What's he yelling about?
She was getting into, she says that any man in his 50s driving a Ferrari looks pathetic.
It's just sad.
That's the midlife crisis thing, and everybody looks at him
and goes. Well, Jim was saying, look, that's when you can afford it, so don't give the guy a hard time. It's not a midlife crisis. And I'm saying, I don't care. It's sad.
So who should be driving Ferraris?
I guess nobody. Yeah, I don't really care.
Well, that's ridiculous. Because this is the thing.
Doesn't matter
if
to me.
If you're 20 years old and driving it, you're obviously got rich parents and you're a bit of a knob.
You're a dick.
Right? Yeah, you're a bit of a dick.
Wait,
right?
Why are you a dick just because you decide to spend a lot of money on a car, Lisa?
A 20-year-old and a Ferrari.
A 20-year-old.
I totally agree.
The sweet spot is a successful 30-year-old.
Perfect.
That's the sweet spot for driving a Ferrari.
But if you're 40 or above, then you're a dick because you've
I want a Ferrari.
Right.
Right? And I probably won't be able to get one for another 15 years.
Right.
And I'm going to be one of these dicks that she's talking about.
They're never
and then I want to leave my girlfriend and have sex with 20-year-olds again. You know what I mean?
Right.
And that's just goals that I wish to achieve in life.
It's fine, but I'm not going to respect you or think that you look good getting out of that car.
This is the thing. When I was 20 years old, I wanted to sleep with 20-year-old women. I'm 35. I still want to sleep with 20-year-old women.
Course.
When I'm 90, I'm going to want to sleep with 20-year-old women.
Right.
When I was 20 years old, I wanted a Ferrari. When I'm 35 now, I want a Ferrari. I'm going to want a Ferrari when I'm 80. Things don't change. You don't get older and go, oh, I want something else.
You mean you don't grow up?
Well, it's like
mature.
It's like men don't start watching older women in porn as they get older. you don't start watching porn going, oh, I don't want to look at those young things anymore. Give me an age appropriate woman.
So Lisa, let me ask you this. I want to get back to the 20-year-olds for a second because I'm fascinated. So there are a lot of 20-year-old millionaires these days because of the internet, because they invented an app or they got a website that gets a lot of clicks or something like that. If I'm 20 and I've hit it big with, you know, I've made $600,000 off my app, why not go out and buy a Ferrari?
You know, that's
what's it
fine
to you?
I'm just making an assumption, as Jeff did, which is that
Jeff Jim
old Jeff Jimmerys, right?
That they didn't earn it. I'm just making that assumption that they.
You're making
parents.
An assumption. It's the parents' money.
I make very sexist assumptions on Ferraris as well, man. If I'm in LA and I see a good-looking girl driving a Ferrari, I just think.
Whore.
Yeah.
Right?
Somebody gave it to her.
I think you're dating some old bloke. Or you're just rinsing him.
But she's dating you in 15 years.
Yeah, no, sure. But do you think I would let the girl drive the Ferrari? No way in the world.
I don't know you that well,
Jeff. She gets a nice little Volkswagen Golf. Brand new, like a new car. She gets a nice little beep beep.
Oh, dating you's going to be fun.
It's a new car. You get to sit in the passenger seat of the Ferrari. That'll be fun.
But tell us, she's there with you.
Yeah, I'm hysterical. I feel like I'm boring.
This is you in 15 years, right?
I'm going to be, actually, my birthday's next week, so 14 years. Holy moly. It is funny that
Lisa is not aging well.
Lisa was a big fan of yours until today, Jim.
36, I'm doing all right.
When did Lisa get so mean?
I was saying that I got reviewed for the show, and someone said I looked like the Pillsbury Doughboy. And then another one said I could be Ricky Gervais's twin.
Oh, that's just mean. That's just nasty.
And then, as I said, as the series goes on, I start to look like a thumb. I have no jawline. I just look weathered from the early mornings and the cigarettes. And I just look appalling.
You were saying during the record, is it food services? Is that part of the problem?
It's excellent, man. If you've never been on set, food is the best. Every day it's like there's a pasta option, and then there's like the donuts just get brought in. Trays and trays of donuts, and that's just for the morning. Right. And cookies in the afternoon. And then you're sitting on a tub of soda every day. It's just very hard.
It's very cruel.
Very cruel. And then like occasionally the guy will just be bringing around like sandwiches like as a snack before lunch. And then you'll have a scene, especially in my show, where you'll eat like two pizzas, right? You'll just be sitting there eating pizzas in the scene. They've ordered you a pizza, and then it's like, time for lunch. As soon as that's over, and you're like, wow, it'd be mean not to eat the lunch. But I tell you, Mindy Sterling, I tell you what, her son eats good because she's thrifty. She goes around and she collects all the food.
She plays the mom of DJ Qualls?
She plays the mom of DJ Qualls, and she's like, what? People are going to throw it away anyway.
She bags it up. And
garbage bags of donuts back with her.
Jeez.
Well, when do you get the good news about a season two, Jim?
I'm thinking...
I'm going to burn this place down if you don't get a season two. Your show is the best on TV right now.
I'm thinking we'll know in a few weeks. I don't know. I've tried to quiz the head of FX and tried to get it, and he's very tight-lipped about the whole thing.
Sure.
So, and fair enough, too. But you know, season two will be easier to make than season one. Probably be a little bit cheaper because we already have the infrastructure already set up, you know?
Right, right.
it's writing episodes for me. I've already started writing season two just so I can get a head start just in case.
We're doing our part. Do you think they'll come back to you and say, as long as you don't look like a thumb?
As long as I lose a bit of weight. Well, it's the ugly. We are the ugliest show on television. The women who guest star are very attractive, but like me, DJ, and Dan Bacadal are ugly, ugly men.
Well, that's true.
No one's going to buy the legit calendar. That's not going to be a big seller.
That's a good point. Well, the show is hilarious. It's called Legit. It's on FX. It airs Thursday nights at 10:30. But then I'm sure they have some repeats throughout the week. People get a chance
to catch it. Or if you get on video on demand.
You know my other favorite show, Joe Schmo Show?
Ralph, yeah.
Yes. Yeah, I watch Ralph's show, man. I love that show. I think it's hysterical.
It's very well done, too.
Club Nokia tonight. Jim Jeffries on stage. Get your tickets while they last at Ticketmaster.com. Always a pleasure to see you. We apologize for the girl and what she had to say, but we'll see you again soon.
Thanks,
right?
Jeff.
That's all right.
Thank you, Jeff, for coming.
I don't even listen to them if they're over 20.
One last question. Without giving the twist away, what can fans expect? And just give it to me in 10 words or less.
Yep. Yeah. Beer mug and the microphone back out in the streets. I guess he was down interviewing people at the Grammys, and we've got this for you coming up right after the top of the hour.
That's all I care about. Yeah, all I care about today.
He's spectacular.
Very excited about that. First, though, Ralph's got the showbiz beat here on the Kevin and Bean Show. What's going on?
While we're talking about the Grammys, CBS has ensured that we will have no fun watching the program.
Why?
Well, here's a little memo that came directly from CBS's program practices department.
Okay.
Program practices are the new politically correct word for the censors. And here's what they're saying regarding the Grammys. Now, keep in mind, CBS is the network that famously coined the phrase wardrobe malfunction.
Sure.
With Janet Jackson and the Super Bowl. They've got a particular sore spot, I think, when it comes to this kind of stuff.
Right.
So they're gonna cover their ass this weekend with the Grammys broadcast by releasing the following memo. Please be sure, this went to all the talent, okay, all the talent appearing on the Grammys.
All right.
Please be sure that buttocks and female breasts are adequately covered.
I already have a problem with that.
Thong-type costumes are problematic. It sounds like they just opened a bunch of fortune cookies and... thong-type costumes are problematic. Please avoid exposing bare, fleshy undercurves of the buttocks and buttock crack. Bare sides or undercurvature of the breasts is also problematic. Please avoid sheer, see-through clothing that could possibly expose female breast nipples. My favorite part of the memo is the dreaded female breast nipple, as opposed... to what other nipple?
To the elbow nipples, which apparently they're letting go. And the knee nipples, we can see those.
Not worried about those.
They don't care so much about the shoulder nipples or the thigh nipples, but you cannot show any female breast nipples.
That's lawyer talk, isn't it?
Please be sure the genital region is adequately covered so that there is no visible puffy bear skin exposure.
Come on!
No visible puffy bear skin exposure. Especially no puffy female breast nipples. They didn't say that, but I'm just trying to clarify.
Are they talking about camel toes?
Yes,
is that what
that's what they're trying to say.
Oh.
And you certainly can't have any bear skin camel toe.
No, I would imagine not.
No.
I think that's acceptable.
If they have a problem with just puffy skin in general, how are they going to let Christina Aguilera on stage?
Good point. Yeah.
Please avoid commercial identification of actual brand name products on your T-shirts. Foreign language on wardrobe will need to be cleared. This pertains to audience members that will appear on camera as well.
Oh, my God.
The network has also asked guests to avoid supporting organized causes spelled out on their wardrobe. So basically, they would like you just to wear a burqa and sing your song and get off the stage.
There's people out there that are just trying to make us not enjoy life. Am I right?
Please avoid see-through clothing that could possibly expose female breast nipples.
It's not good for New York. It's not good for America, and it's not good for the entire world. And so, CBS, shame on you. Shame on you, CBS.
Breast nipples is my new favorite phrase ever.
It's a good band.
What possible other nipples could they think we're talking about?
Well, I think they're trying to differentiate between men's nipples. I think that's what they mean.
Why don't you say female nipples?
Don't know.
Why do you have to say female breast nipples? As if there are nipples anywhere else on the human body.
Well, the forehead nipple, they allow.
No, there's no forehead nipples. The female breast nipples. Was this translated from Farsi or some other language?
Or the words don't match up?
That's awesome. God damn it.
I want to destroy them.
And while we're talking, we're talking about award shows. Really good news. The Oscar telecast just seems to be a Bond fan's wet dream. That's what it seems like it's going to be now. I just cannot wait for this program. I hope it's 4 hours long. It just seems like it's just going to be the best event ever for me.
Why?
Because it just keeps getting bondier. More and more bondage.
You already have all the Bonds, right?
You told us that there was a talk that all the James Bonds were coming out at the same time.
That's what
right?
they're telling us. And you get Adele singing the Skyfall.
Oh, right.
And now they have announced that Dame Shirley Bassey.
Who's that?
Shirley Bassey will be performing Goldfinger on the Oscars. She is the woman who has sung the most Bond themes ever. She's got three of them. She's got Goldfinger, she's got Diamonds Are Forever, and she's got Moonraker. And she's going to come out on stage and sing Goldfinger, perhaps the most classic Bond theme of all, live at the Oscars.
Everybody needs to use the restroom at some point.
Oh, how dare you!
Right?
And if you think Dame Shirley Bassey doesn't have what it takes anymore, my friend, allow me to play you a little piece of tape that comes from the Brit Awards from last year, where she came out and sang this very same song. This lady's got pipes!
Balls, 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 balls.
She does still have it.
That, of course, is the theme from Thunderball. You may remember that James Bond movie.
Here's the real song.
He's a man.
And she's like 100.
Yeah, she's got to be 70, right?
Got to be. Such a cool finger. Quack, quack, quack. Beckons
you to everybody needs to use the restroom at some point.
Love this song. And you know what? But don't go in! The moral of that story. Today's celebrity birthdays. Bethany Hamilton is 23 years old today. Bassist Jeremy Davis of Paramore. Oh, I love the Perry Mar. He's 28 years old. Phoenix of Linkin Park is 36. Kimbo Slice turns 39. Mary McCormick from In Plain Sight in the West Wing is 44. Mary Steenburgen is 60. Actor Nick Nolte is 72.
I never thought I'd live to be 72. I didn't think I'd live to be 71, for God's sakes.
And Ted Koppel is 73. Let's please not forget our bestest buddy. We love him so much. Seth Green, everybody. Seth Green's birthday. Green. Oh, come on.
Seth Green.
Seth Green's a genius. He's a Renaissance man. You got your robot
Seth
chicken.
Green.
You got your Family Guy. You got your Buffy the Vampire Slayer. You've got this guy's been working since he was a zygote. This kid.
That bus tour circus that he's a part of.
That thing. Everything he does. Everything he touches turns to gold. He's got the gold finger. He's 39 years old today. Happy birthday, buddy. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and this, this is the Kevin and Bean Show at 8 minutes after 9 o'clock. Oh, everyone's here. How about that?
No. That's all I care about.
Sorry, Ralph. Want to get your mic on?
That's all right.
There we go.
What's the time? It's time to get mugged, ladies and gentlemen. Beer mug and the K-Rock microphones were down at the Grammys. It's Grammy weekend, of course, in Los Angeles, so they give the radio people an opportunity to interview a bunch of people associated with the show, and that's where Beer Mug went. How was it, Muggs?
It was fantastic. I thought it went well.
It was great. I'm really getting good at this.
Most people, when they start, before they do the interviews, they go ahead and set up the microphone and they do a test. Test, test, make sure this is working, it's not too distorted. But most people, when they do that, that's all they do. They don't go into deep introspection about what a crappy life there he's having.
Wow.
He does this in the test.
A little soul searching?
This is the test.
Pause. Check. Check. Level test. Oh, God. That's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I need to go to the gym. I'm going to get diabetes if I don't go to the gym.
Wow.
I really feel like crap. I really do. I don't feel healthy like I did when I was doing MMA. I'd love to get back into the MMA scene.
What's happening?
I really would.
It was just Grimmock's interviewing himself.
He's talking to no one.
You know that there's no psychiatrist in the room, right? It's just you and a mic.
Didn't think Dave was rolling on that. I was just testing the levels.
But why were you testing the levels with your deepest, most heartfelt fears?
I don't know.
Because he just finished shoving a roast beef sandwich and like macaroni salad down his throat. That's why.
Muggs has turned the corner, though. I believe his questions are now making a little more sense. He sits down with Youngblood Hawk, and he asks this question.
And how has it, since We Come Running has come out, how has it changed for you? Has it become more hectic? Or
so you got that question.
How has what changed for him? The song?
Dave, you were there. What was happening in the eyes of Youngblood Hawk?
Just staring, just
what the
waiting,
hell's going
like,
on?
Going, where
just
are
glazing
we?
Over?
Next. That's what
is there anybody that you're excited to see perform outside?
Wait, who's performing outside?
Why would they be performing outside?
You know how they have their handlers that give you 1 minute, 2 minutes?
Yeah.
The Youngblood Hawk guys were going 1 minute. Let's wrap it up.
Right, but why did you say outside?
I don't know.
I don't know.
Are there people performing outside the Grammys?
I have no.
Then why would you say the word outside?
It was early, that was the beginning of the interview process.
Who cares?
I was tired. I wasn't making much sense.
What? Is there anyone you're looking forward to seeing outside?
I don't know what that
were
meant.
Were you thinking about the Grammy tailgate party?
Yeah, I think so.
Oh, shut up.
Is there anybody that you're excited to see perform outside?
I don't know. Wait, are they going to perform the song outside?
I couldn't.
Or are they going to perform it outside?
I'm just as perplexed as you guys are.
Well, good you were tired early on in the interview process. That bodes well for the remainder.
So he sits down and the Parlatones come in and they sit down across from Muggs and he asks them about playing with Coldplay. But he not only asks the question, he also answers it for them.
Now, you said you guys played a show with Coldplay. I would say after that, I've pretty much made it. And I was going to ask, you know, what band you really, you know, dream about playing with. But I'd say Coldplay is pretty much the pinnacle.
Yeah, look, it was a great honor to play with him.
Yeah.
That's it.
I just told you that it was.
Yeah.
You don't leave them much to give back.
He didn't leave them anything.
I was going to ask you, but it's done. You're over. You finished.
You've already peaked.
Yeah, it was great. Yeah, I just said that. I told you that.
Hey,
move on.
The Parlatones, their new band out of South Africa. Did you find out if they're playing outside, Muggs?
No. I decided to leave that
Aaron
one.
Aaron Lewis?
Here's Muggs with the Lumineers. And listen to how this clip ends.
Wesley, Neela, Jeremiah, you guys have been pretty busy lately.
Yeah, it's good.
You guys came from Ellen, I heard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you were braving the L.A. traffic.
Now, remember, this is the first, this is when he sits down with them.
To get over here.
Yeah.
So I appreciate that. And you're performing Sunday night. Are you guys excited?
Yeah, very excited. Very.
Yeah. Awesome.
Yeah, super excited, yeah.
That's it, he's out.
Instead of interviewing
Are
you...
Are you excited?
Let me just read you your itinerary for today. You did the Ellis show. You drove the traffic. You're here now. And then Sunday, you'll be performing. All right.
Oh,
just
wait,
wanted to
so,
recap that for you. Moving on.
So the only question for the Lumineers,
yes.
Best New Artist nominee in the Lumineers, is, are you excited?
Yes.
That's it.
That's it. And then it just fades. There's just sound.
You guys excited?
Yeah, we're excited. Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah, super excited. Yeah.
Okay, thanks for stopping by. Oh, he did have time for one more question.
Reading your bio, I thought it was impressive how you guys left New York, went to Denver, found Mila, and you guys have just, I mean, how perfect is that? Did you guys expect, that to happen? That
Yep, thought I was going to move to Denver and meet this chick.
Why would you just read
Guys, we have to move to Denver because there's this chick there we should meet.
Why are you just reading them the bio? You guys went to Denver, and then you went out for lunch. I don't know what's going on.
Was there any traffic in Denver, too?
Dr. Drew sits down. Oh, he's nice to God. With Thank Muggs. God. And Muggs proclaims his love for Drew and really his goals for his life.
Well, Dr. Drew, you're the man, and I strive everything that you are. I strive to be everything that you are.
Strive everything you are.
To be.
Okay, especially your female breast nipples.
So now it's been about 5 minutes since Muggs has eaten, so he takes another giant bite of food, and then Diplo sits down right in front of him.
Uh-oh.
Ladies and gentlemen. Oh, let me finish what I'm eating. Sorry. Wrong time to eat.
It smells pretty good.
Sorry, I apologize.
It's all good.
That's Diplo.
This guy's representing us, by the way. Yeah, when I know. We send him out.
He's got a mouthful of food. What was he eating, Dave?
Macaroni salad. Macaroni salad.
How is the diet going, Muggs? I forgot to ask today.
Terrible.
Did you listen to a sound check? I'm going to get diabetes. You're not going to the gym. I hate myself.
I need probably to be back in the MMA world.
Where's the macaroni salad? Is there any more macaroni salad?
So Skylar Gray is there, and Diplo's sitting in front of Muggs, and Muggs asked him this.
When are you going to do something with Skylar?
Well, we already did something.
Oh, damn it.
What?
It's crazy. Skylar Gray, Skrillex, Diplo, and Riff Raff.
Sick.
Now listen to the end of Muggs with Diplo and how he just freaking fades out. Just loses interest in life.
They played our Christmas show two months ago.
Talking about No Doubt.
Yeah.
They were amazing. And they opened up with Push and Shove.
Yeah.
It was awesome.
Yeah.
Thanks a lot, man.
In Muggs' defense.
There's no in Muggs' defense.
In Muggs' defense.
He was laying down to die.
That's not even a question. He's telling him something. Hey, they played our show. They opened that song.
Yeah. Good.
No, you're right. No, I agree. Diplo certainly could have tried to add something. Yeah, it was great working on that with that song or something like that.
Not even at his show. What is he supposed to say? Muggs already said it was awesome.
Here's my guess. They play it at every freaking show they do. It's on their new album.
I agree with you, Bean.
I'm saying not that it's Diplo's responsibility as the interviewee to do the heavy lifting here, but I can see what happened there. And
no,
it's not
Beer
a. It's not a
Beer Mug is that character that, who's the fat guy from SNL?
Nick Foley?
No.
What? Oh, Horatio Sands?
Chris Farley?
Chris Farley. Chris Farley used to play when he used to do those interviews on Saturday Night Live. Yeah. Hey, remember that time when you were in the Beatles? Yeah, that was awesome. Yeah, he's that guy now.
He is awesome. That guy. Yeah.
Thanks a lot, man.
He knows how to end strong. Now he's interviewing Brittany Howard from Alabama Skates.
Shakes.
I'm sorry. He wrote Omar type skates about her getting robbed. And she's not necessarily thrilled about this line of questioning.
I read a story about last December you were robbed at gunpoint.
Oh, man.
Should I not bring that up?
Well,
what happened?
It ain't no big deal.
That's terrible, though.
Yeah, I mean, people get robbed every day, though.
Oh, my God.
It's unfortunate kids got to do stuff like that.
Oh, my God. I don't know what I would have done.
You probably just give them your money.
Probably.
Yeah. I don't know what I would have done if I'd have been held up. Probably give them money.
No, I would
have
used my MMA training.
You missed the end when he's like, God bless you.
Someone tried to rob me at
God
gunpoint.
Bless you, Brittany.
I'd probably eat the gun.
Now I have one
and
more
disarm
clip.
Them.
I have one more clip. This is Beer Mug with Avicii, and
shut up, Dave.
He's preaching. It's more of a monologue about the status of dance music today.
All right, because he's a big rising star in that world.
Professor
right?
Beer Mug speaks.
Who? Beer Mug?
No, Avicii.
Oh, no. Folks who don't recognize the name. Very, very popular DJ.
Right, but
the world
there's
right
no
now
question for Avicii.
You would think it's the other way around.
I want to make that clear.
Kevin's
he doesn't
saying
say, hey, Avicii, tell us about dance music.
Right.
This is Beer Mug going on a monologue.
And it seems like, you know, dance and electronic is really, like, not what? In, like, the last 4 years, I would say, just has exploded onto the scene. You know, people who were not originally, you know, tuned into it are, have, I mean, there's.
Now, what do you think Avicii's thinking at this point? Like, is there a question? What's happening?
So many artists now, and I think it's great that it's really hit the scene hard. And you've also you do something for the Feed Foundation.
I'm just I don't know anything about this, but I'm laying money down right now. It's not called the Feed Foundation. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong.
That's what her publicist told me.
It's possible.
This is, I have no prior knowledge, but I will put a dollar down that it's, whatever he's talking about, it's not called the Feed Foundation.
I don't know either, but I would put a dollar down.
I can't take that
beer mug as well.
I can't take that bet.
The only thing standing in the way of us and singing Don't Bogart That Joint is this man right here, Ralph Garman.
What are we going to sing?
Don't Bogart That Joint?
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Right. Is this man, Ralph Garman, with the Showbiz Beat here on a Friday, Kevin and Beat Show?
Well, I guess you can be happy. I guess you can sing your little songs and have your little jolly farewell segment of your Friday show. Maybe you, Bean, because that's how you roll. But I can't. I can't. I can't just pretend like nothing happened.
You're
and just
always
move
happy
on
when it's the end of the week.
But you can't celebrate today. Today's a dark day.
Huh.
For those of us who are true theremin aficionados, true theremin fans, it is a dark, dark day. And Bean obviously is not one of them.
What's that?
The death of Paul Tanner.
No, 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 no.
Perhaps the greatest theremin virtuoso of our lifetime.
What a theremin is.
Oh, Kevin.
So like a...
Oh, Kevin, you're such a Philistine. Such a Neanderthal. How dare you? How dare you besmirch the name of perhaps the world's greatest musical instrument, the theremin?
The only musical instrument you play, Kevin, by the way, without touching it.
What?
Don't do that ever
right
again.
Here. Right
don't ever,
here.
Don't ever do that again.
This is what I'm talking about. This is an instrument you play by touching, but the theremin is an instrument that you play without touching it. The magical, musical theremin.
Note to self, don't look at Ralph.
Really, here's a little taste of the theremin.
How do you play that without touching it?
This is magic right there.
Because there is an electromagnetic field created by these two antennae, and you place your hands into that field, and by manipulating your hands in the air, you create the sound.
That's pretty weird.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Doesn't make it a good sound.
It makes it an awesome sound. Used in many legendary horror movies. You may have heard it in the song Good Vibrations by the Beach Boys. Paul Tanner was one of the virtuosos of the instrument, and sadly, he is now gone at the age of 95 years old.
I think I'm all right with that.
He will be missed. That's a sweet, sweet sound.
No,
I have several albums of theremin music.
No, I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it. You're not a fan.
I love the theremin.
You're not a fan.
Theremin's my favorite instrument. How could you say that?
Sing our goofy little song and be on our way on this happy Friday. No, not me, sir. No, that's not how I choose to celebrate the death of one of the greats. I'll have you know. I'm going to go sit in a dark room and just listen to theremin music.
Wow, that's depressing. I'd kill myself.
Was depressing his beer mugs sound check during those interviews.
That really was the best moment in that whole thing.
Well, we're talking about music. How about Elton John recording a guest shot for the new Queens of the Stone Age album?
No
yes,
kidding.
Please.
That's weird.
Elton John and Queens of the Stone Age. Interesting mix.
I like it.
He told Dave Grohl last week that he plays piano and sings on the tune, and he thinks that it really rocks. The album will be out at some point later this year. Elton said his day began with a session with Engelbert Humperdinck at the beginning of the day, and then he went to the Queens of the Stone Age later in the day.
That's a weird day.
That is musical whiplash right there. But it's very exciting. Elton will also be at the Grammy Awards this weekend. Sunday night, he'll be performing with Mumford & Sons on stage as they give a tribute to Levon Helm, the late drummer and singer for the legendary band, The Band.
You might remember their biggest hit.
It's
their biggest hit.
Give it. I'd like to hear the theremin version of that Balls song.
Nope. It's a terrible sound.
We should have a new game called Theremin the Hits.
Nope.
If we could find anyone alive to play the theremin, we could do that game.
I can just fake it.
And you think people are going to be able to figure out what song you're doing?
Nope.
Yeah.
That's how we save money on tickets, son. I'm talking about the bottom line. Can't you see the vision, man?
Sorry, man. I'm blind.
I got vision. The rest of the world's wearing bifocals. Kim Kardashian.
Who?
Sorry. Porn star Kim Kardashian is upsetting her boyfriend Kanye West. Well, she's already got a problem. The fact that she is married and carrying his baby. That's problematic enough.
Right.
But that probably doesn't bother Kanye West, I'm guessing. However, she has told him that she wants to marry Kanye once she is free to do so. However, she will not change her name, won't take Kanye's last name, and more importantly, she thinks their unborn child should also carry the Kardashian last name. Bum, bum, bum.
I do wonder if that, like you suspected earlier, is coming from Kris Jenner.
It has to be.
How do you market? It's easier to market a Kardashian baby than a West baby, right?
Yes. Sure. Yes. Sure.
Unless it's Adam West, baby, then I would just bestow it with the riches and spices that it so deserves.
I mean, her Kim's nieces, those 14-year-olds or whatever, that are getting all the modeling jobs Genders, and walking the catwalk and everything like that. I mean, you know, she's just looking for a way to extend the brand. Hey, give me another baby.
They're Jenners. But they're not Kardashians. Maybe she's
Oh, they
Kardashians.
Are Jenners.
Yeah. Kendall and chlamydia are both Genders. Yeah.
Oh, I think it's a chlamydia.
It's a K-sounding word. But I'm kind of... Kendall and sure catheter?
I think it's catheter.
Might be catheter. I think that could be it. Yeah.
I can't remember. I don't think I'm going to do this story.
Okay.
I just looked at that and said, that's even inappropriate for me.
We'll edit that out.
How about we just go to celebrity birthdays and we say goodbye?
All right.
How about that? We'll let Bean sing his song and be on with it.
I'd like you to play the theremin along with Don't Booger today, if you would,
Ralph. I'd be happy to, yes. Ted Koppel, TV journalist, is 73 years old today. Mary Steenburgen is 60 years old. Mary McCormick from In Plain Sight, and she was on The West Wing, 44 years old. Our buddy Seth Green from, of course, the Austin Powers movies and Robot Chicken and Family Guy. He just does it all, 39 years old. Kimbo Slice, UFC fighter, is also 39 today. Phoenix from Linkin Park is 36. Jeremy Davis, bassist for Paramore, is 28. Pro surfer Bethany Hamilton is 23, and actor Nick Nolte celebrates his 72nd birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Muggs is going back to the Grammys today, so for part two, join us on Monday.
What?
So we got that for you. We got Grace Park, the star of Hawaii Five-0, and the creator of The Walking Dead, Robert Kirkman. That is coming back on Sunday night.
Theremin the Hits.
Nope.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Cows can suck it.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Sorry, can't help you there.
Roll another one.
What are you looking for in particular?
Some sperm?
Just like the other one.
That's not true.
This one seems to be about
nothing could be further from the truth.
Another
I don't know much about the Bieber. Never see him. I don't know what he does.
Have you ever heard his song?
No. How's it go?
Baby, 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 oh.
Is that his song?
You know it.
I don't think I'd like it.
Me either.
Roll.
I want to destroy them.
I don't have another cent.
Listen. Shut the f*** up. Everyone's a dumb whore.
Just pass it around.
A lot of downtime in this job. How do you keep your head about it?
I just pass it.
There's actually a lot more, but tell us your thoughts so far.
It's the greatest thing I've ever seen in my entire life.
No, yes. It's terrible.
It's terrible.
Out. Now.
You've wasted all those hours. F*** you. And thank you so much. You've been so helpful. Now get the f*** out of the way.
Everyone go home now. The party's over.
I was told I'd get a meal.
Well, that's a wrap. There you have it. The world... Well, that's a wrap. There you have it. The world carp... Oh, well. Better luck next time.